I'd get that closer so I don't have to get out of the camera. How many of us like getting gifts? We all like gifts, right? It's natural. There's something to be had for free. As my dad would say, if it's free, it's for me. And that's not exactly my philosophy in there, but you've all been offered those free gifts, right? The luggage set, the free trip, you know, the other free gifts, and the best one. But wait, there's more. We tend toward those gifts, and then we sidestep or try to look away from the person that's trying to give you that gift or the entity that's trying to give you that gift. We get we'll give you this free 6-piece luggage set, and we think, oh, that's awesome, a 6-piece luggage. I can do something with that. I can go on a trip. And then you find out you got to sit through a 3-hour, 4-hour, 5-hour discussion on something. And it's just, you know, okay, maybe I don't want to do that after all. But we still want the gift. I've been to many trade shows and other kinds of things that way where they're trying to sell stuff. And how many of you have gone to a county fair and gone through the commercial exhibits? We've all been there, right? What's on the table out in front of most of those commercial exhibits? A bowl of candy, some little trinkets, and see, I've got my favorites here. A little highlighter pen that the ink pen side of it doesn't work anymore, but I like that one. That's what I'm highlighting my Bible with these days. And I got a fireman pen that's worthless. Doesn't hardly write. Candy. We all like candy. And we'll, if we're in one of those places like that, you've all watched those people. Sorry, I'm going to get off camera. People will be walking along. And then they'll maybe even go back. And while the guy's looking the other way, they're going to get that pen too. They always want the free gift, right? Ooh, almost made it into the chair. I can't throw Floyd a broken one. Arm's getting tired. Anyway, we get those free gifts and I gotta find my place here. You know, those vendors that are there, they've paid to be there. They paid to come and give you stuff. All they ask in return is that you listen to them for a little while. Most of the time, like if it's a trade show, you're there because you actually want something that some of those people are selling. But you don't want to act like it. So you walk by and just kind of, boy, that's a nice look. And get yourself the candy or the pens. You know, I was going to try to find, I couldn't find one at our house, the little bags that you get. You know, you see everybody walking around these shows with the little bag that somebody gave them for free. So they could fill it up with all junk they're going to throw away when they get home anyway. They put the candy out there to entice you. They know that it's going to draw people in, and the minute they get somebody that hasn't been to these shows and looks at that guy behind the counter, they've got you, because then you have to talk to them. Once you make eye contact with them, you got to talk to them, right? You've got to develop a relationship with that person once you make eye contact. So we seasoned folks that go to these shows know you don't make eye contact with them. Then you're good. Act very nonchalant and grab a candy and then you roll on. Try not to be noticed by any of the vendors behind the table. And have you ever noticed at this kind of events, like home shows and at the fairs, kids, they'll be kind of shy about it, but they'll make eye contact with the guy behind the counter or behind the table. And they'll, can I have this? And they're, oh, sure. Hey, tell your parents to come over. Now you're hooked. Because your kids will, you know, draw in the parent. And guess what? Those people that are doing these shows know that they start talking to the kid, the child. Sorry, I got to use proper terminology. I'm a professional speaker now, so I got to use the right words. The child will draw their parent up to them because the parent is going to come in to be the protector, right? They've got you then. So anyway, the kids come in, they'll listen, and sometimes they'll even bring another friend with them, so now you got two parents that have come up to the table. That all kind of depends on the gift. And actually, if you go to a fireman's conference and they have something like that, we firemen are all, hey, did you see what they're giving away over here? Go get one quick. They're going fast. But kids will do the same thing with these candies and stuff. You know, you have the thing of Smarties out there, kids are going for it, you know. Free gifts. The children accept the gifts, and also they get to know the giver. They get to know, because this person that's on this side of the table will start talking to them, and then they'll ask them questions, and then the child will interact with them, and that's the awesome thing. Kids are that way. They come to you easily. That's why, you know, it's kind of a bad thing, too, in our world today. Kids do tend to like people or not be afraid of folks outside either. We adults need to break the norm of chasing the gift and not the giver. Let's look at some recorded events through the world's history. After creation, God saw everything he made and proclaimed it was good. The whole, everything. 6 days, he made everything and he stood back and said, this is good. God handed this gift, or this good thing, to man. Here's the gift. Here you go. Take care of it. And that's what he directed. Here you go, Adam, or man. Take care of what I made for you. All is good. Here you go. Then God gave Eve to Adam as Adam's help. Now I'm going to kind of cliff note this a little bit. Adam and Eve were given a gift. Paradise. And Eve, and eventually Adam, chose to accept a gift from somebody else. And they developed a relationship between that giver. Who was that giver? It was a snake. The devil. Instead of God's gift and the instructions that God gave them about take care of this and don't eat this, they chose the snake. Now we'll move ahead in time a little bit to Moses and Israel. Moses, God is still good to them. I mean, he brought them with Moses out of Egypt, out of slavery. Slavery. You know, the people that were, the Israelites that were there, Pharaoh was just absolutely telling them, make them work harder. Work harder, and I'm not giving them anything more to do with it. Just make them work harder, harder, harder. Slavery. True slavery. You know, that word gets thrown out a lot in today's day and age, but that was slavery back then. God is good to them. He brought them out of slavery. They crossed the sea on dry land. Something that seems like, if I was in that group that was crossing, I'd be, wow, I wonder how this happened. Because, I mean, there was a huge group. It was 500,000 people. About that. Is that right, Dan? 500,000 or 600,000 people. You know, God was talking to Moses, and so word kind of had to spread throughout, but Moses, you know, kind of did the telephone game before telephone was there. Hey, tell so-and-so we're leaving on this day. And it had to go through 600,000 people, and they all started traveling. Can you imagine when that 600,000 person heard, hey, we're leaving? Why? You know, and they start traveling out and come to the Red Sea, and hey, we're going across this place that used to be all water. What's going on here? They were led by God's power. By day in a pillar of smoke, by night in a pillar of light or fire. That seems like that'd be pretty impressive. I think I'd take note that somehow I'm not in slavery anymore. Moving forward, there's this big cloud of smoke in front of us. You know, again, I'm number 600,000. I'm back behind this whole just mass of people that's going across this water on dry land. I think I'd be, it seems like it would click in my head that there's a superpower. God is taking care of us here. Instead of Israel trusting God's way, and that his way was perfect, they were wanting more gifts. They were wanting more. Well, he brings us out of slavery and brings us out in the desert here. We crossed over the water on dry land. Water's on both sides of us. Now the Egyptians are underwater. I want more. This is just nuts. They had God, the giver, with them. But the gift and the timing weren't meeting their expectations. He took them across the ocean or the sea, brought them into this area that now you're safe from the Egyptians, gave them manna, and they were still complaining. They had a gift, but they didn't see the giver. But they wanted more gifts. Give me more of that candy. I don't want to look at who's giving it. I want more of that. Better stuff. You know, get rid of that pen that's got who knows what on there. Not sure what that little hairy thing is on there. Aren't the best gifts the surprise? Aren't they the sweetest ones? You're just minding your own business, moving along, and somebody gives you a gift. Isn't that just the best? That person thought something special of me. They gave me a gift. That's what God was doing for these folks. They were His people. They were good because God created them. And the people were turning over, you know, I don't know who that guy is, but I want more of that. So this was all going on. They wanted more gifts. How did they respond? Is this all? They had God, needed more. Now, in that then, God says, fine. You're going to get to go to the promised land. You're going to go to I'm going to have one of my people take you to the promised land. But I'm not going with you. Moses, being the man of God that he was and did see all those wonderful things that God had done for his people, said, oh, wait a minute. In Exodus 33, this was after Moses had been up on the mountain, came back down, and the people had made a golden calf and were worshiping this other idol. God was angry with them. I'm going to take you out there, but my angel will go with you, but I'm not going to. What'd Moses say? Well, then don't send us. I don't want to go there without you, God. That's how we have to be. I don't want to go there without you. Don't give me those gifts unless I can have a relationship with you, God. Most people would say, kind of in that situation of, okay, well, you don't want to go? Okay, we're going. We're going to go make our own way. And that's not how we need to be. Moses knew better than that. And we know that because of what his response was. And this is the response we need to have in our hearts all the time. If your presence does not go with us, don't send us. Don't send me someplace that if you're not going to be there. To God. If I can't have the giver, don't give me the gift. How does this fit today? Well, we need to stop chasing the gift instead of the giver. Stop trying to pick up that piece of candy out of that thing without looking at the giver. Don't be like the Israelites had God in front of them day and night and chose to complain about manna being all there was. If the gift is the goal, we lose the relationship. We need to have that relationship with God solid. Needs to be there before we get the gift. Number two, the giver is greater than the gift. James 1:17 tells us, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom in no variableness neither shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. We accept that gift. We have to accept God. We need to. And God gives it to us without any variance. We have to have that relationship with God first. John 3:27, John is talking and says, man can receive nothing except from heaven. If we have a relationship with God, we have the source of everything we need. If we have the relationship with God, we have the source of everything we need. What's the common denominator there? God. We have God, we have everything. Because it says in James 1:17, every perfect gift is from God. Everything. We need to seek the giver. We need to be in the Bible seeking God. We need to be seeing him in everything we do, everything around us. He made it all. And he declared it good, and we should be declaring it perfect. Everything around us. Matthew 6:33 says, notice how I stretched that out. Let me back up to verse 32 in parentheses. For after all things do the Gentiles seek, parentheses. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, Jesus is talking about all those other things, our daily needs, clothes, food, a roof over our heads, all of that stuff. Seek God first, even Gentiles, and that we fit into that category. Seek God first, and he'll give those things to us. He'll give us those gifts. So we need to be near God. We need to be with him to gain his gifts. God wants us. He wants a relationship first and then the gifts. Everything has to be in the right order. I was supposed to tell you that there's 5 points that I'm going to talk about here, but this is number 4. Because of the relationship with the giver, or God, we have access to the greatest gift, Jesus. God gave Jesus to us as a gift. Salvation starts with knowing God. Then Jesus is there, died for our sins, so that we believe in him. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When you know the giver, you trust the gifts. And our gift, the main gift, is Jesus. The other gifts, all the provisions that we need for life and to be able to give other folks gifts, follows up that other. But we have to have that relationship with God. God didn't just give us blessings. He gave us His Son. His Son that He loved so immensely. But He loved us too. God so loved the world that He gave His Son for us. When we put the giver, God, first, we can trust more and worry less. Because we know that God is going to take care of us. He gives us all that stuff. Everything. He'll take care of us. We can be grateful, not entitled. What did the Israelites do? Instead of being grateful, they felt like they were entitled to a steak and lobster dinner instead of manna. Grateful. We need to be careful not to scoff at the wonderful gift that God has given us. We don't want to be like the Israelites. Is this all? That's not how I want to be. So, Connie, if you'll...
This is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Think first about the giver before the gift. We're going to close with hymn number 465. If you'll stand, please.